Today's Baptist, that by inheritance we begin with a roaring new. Let us first a little bit reintroduce the issue of Nichsei HaIsha. Remember that the zechut that is given to the Baal in Nichsei HaIsha is split into two very different types of Nichasim. One are called Nichsei Tzon Barzel, in which the Baal actually takes possession of the Nichasim, but guarantees those Nichasim and the full value. Those are called Nechosim that we have estimated beforehand and we know what their value is. And that value he guarantees no matter what happens to the woman, she gets it back in the event of his death or a divorce. But then there's a different type of Nechosim which are not Shuma, they're not estimated, they're valued, it's not mentioned in the Ketuvah at all. And those are Nechsei Melug. We call them Nechsei Melug because they're plucked, which is what Meliga means. Plucked in the sense that even though the woman owns those nechasim, the Baal eats as long as he is alive. He eats the produce of those nechasim. He eats the income. Everything.
He gets.
Yes. All he does is he's guaranteed the full value to the woman. There's differences if the actual thing is still extant, whether she has a right still to the extant, or whether only to those things we'll discuss later. This parak is dedicated to a discussion of nechasim alum. Now, the question is, remember earlier that Nichsei Melug was a schus to the husband that is built around an exchange for his insurance policy in the event that she's kidnapped. So that it appears to be another one of those types of takanot that are for the benefit of the Isha. So it would appear on the surface. Now, that ought to make a tremendous nafkamina in terms of determining whether she has a right to sell these nechasim. Let's think about the issue. If you sell the nechasim, the husband has a lien on these nechasim for parents. Does that mean she can't sell them at all? Or that if she sells them, it's a good sale? But that the husband can nonetheless claim that his lien is on the parents, and therefore the buyers never get the parents. So that the sale would be an understanding that I sell these nechasim to you with the, as long as my husband is dead. I mean, in other words, if he dies, so then you get to keep these nechasim, and then you keep the parents and so on. But if it turns out that I die first, then there's going to be a big problem, because then he has the right to the yersh, these nechasim, his lien came before you. So basically, you're going to pay me, I guess, 20 cents on the dollar, and a chance that you're going to get to keep these nechasim. So we have to consider, when we're talking about these nechasim, first of all, at what point does the lien of the Baal begin? Lien of a Baal, he certainly doesn't get to eat the peiros until after the marriage. It's only a nesua that he is mitchayev to her. It's only a nesua that she's mitchayev to him in terms of the nechasim. So then the question is, how about those nechasim that, first of all, he doesn't even know about? He doesn't know about these nechasim. Let's say she has nechasim somewhere in Alaska. He never heard of them. Remember that the only reason that we said earlier that we are mitaken the pirkan, the negative nechasim, is because if not, the husband will say, look, she's got property, let her take care of her own kidnapping problems. What do I have to worry about it for? If he doesn't know that she has property, then we never made that takan. It's all based on that chashash. So that's one thing we're going to have to think about. Another thing we're going to have to think about is, early on, at the time of the eris, it says it's a year between the eris and the nesuin. If she gets nechasim, and she sells those nechasim, I mean, lechara, it's none of his business, because I mean, he doesn't yet have the schus to them, and she wasn't nesua. How about if she gets those nechasim, but keeps them until the nesua? Now they go ahead, and they go and get married, and then now the question is, would she have a right, because she could say, look, I mean, those things I got before we were ever married, I mean, you never got any schus to them. Or how about if those things she got before she was even Mekudeshet. They were even in a state of Eresin. So these are the issues that the Mishnah wants to discuss. And we'll see that there's some rather complex machlokes both among the Tanoim and among the Amoraim and among the Rishonim that explain those Amoraim and among the Aharonim that explain those Rishonim. This is one of those kind of sugyas. But again, since I promised we're trying to keep things simple, we'll take the most obvious pshat. So, says Zakhar Helika
Mishnah,
Ha'isha shenaflula nechasim at shaloti tares, if these nechasim fell to a woman before her heiress, And now she goes ahead and she accepts Kiddushin from somebody. The question is, does that guy want her not sell these Nechassim? He says, look, you know, I'm looking forward to the day when we go to the Chuppah and we'll have these Nechassim and start our life. And we'll be able to have Nechassim Alug and we'll enjoy them. So Modim Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, even though later on in our mission we'll see the Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel about certain Nechassim, whether she has a right to sell them. But in this case, Shemocheret V'notenet, she can look at chila, she can sell these nechassim, she give these nechassim as a matana. V'kayam. V'kayam means that even later, even if she then afterwards, she ends up in fact getting married to him, it's still kayam. In other words, you shouldn't think that the point over here is that at this point we never know whether she's actually going to go through with the marriage. Maybe something could come up and they won't get to the chuppah. So what are we going to do? Ma'akev her at this point where there may never be an issuing. But if actually it ends up that there wasn't a suitin, so maybe at that point the Baal could say, look, you know, I married you with the understanding that I would be getting those things, and you went ahead and you sold it. No, there's no taina, she can sell, and it's a sale that is kayam, and there's no lien of the Baal that could possibly be chal once it's already sold. How about if naflula mi shenitarsa? How about if these nechassim fell to her after she was already in Arusa? So Beit Shammai Omrim Timko. Beit Shammai said, right now he doesn't have any rights to them. Why can't she not go ahead and sell? Beit Hillel Omrim Lo Timko. Beit Hillel says she should not sell. But if she did sell, Elo Veilam Odim Sheimach Rabin Atzna. So then Kayam. If she goes ahead and she does a sale anyway, then that sale is Kayam. So when we say she should not sell, basically, I mean, we're going to see that the issue over here is that at this point that she's in Arusa, it may well be that she's going to end up becoming a Nesua. And the Nesuin was built around the anticipation that the Baal, Bishasa Erisin, has for these Nechassim. And therefore, there is actually a right that the Baal has to them in terms of her not selling them and taking them away from him during this period. However, we can't be sure. We don't really know that this Erisin is going to end up with an Nesuin. For that matter, the woman herself could always basically say, look, you don't like it, how about we don't get married? So I won't go to the chuppah. I want to sell these nechassim. I need the money for these nechassim. You don't like it. You feel that you have a schus. What's your schus based around? That we're going to go to a chuppah? I won't go to a chuppah. You're not worth it to me, these nechassim. So ultimately, for us to tell the Isha she cannot sell doesn't make any sense, really, because it's biyada, I mean, to sell. If you refer to more, we need to take into consideration, this we'll see as a machlokas, some machlokas, that's in the coming machlokas in the Mishnah, that the woman anyway may have the right to say, assuming that this takon is for the benefit of the woman, that she should have a pirkon, that she should have an insurance policy against kidnapping, so then this is letovata, and if she says, look, you know what, forget about it. So ultimately, she would have that right also. She could say, well, you know what? I won't take the schus that I'm getting from it, and I want to sell. So for two possible reasons, she really has the right. On the other hand, if a guy is coming to buy, and again, this is all consistent with Rashi later on. Not everybody agrees. But if a guy is coming to buy, we tell that guy, look, you really shouldn't buy. Because this woman is selling something that actually ought to go to her buyer. Except we can't prevent her from selling for the above reasons. And furthermore, she's a muhzeket. So as a muhzeket, she can do whatever she wants. Nobody can stop somebody who has the money. And we can't prove that this money is lien to anybody else. Because she could always say, well, are you so sure I'm going to go to the chuppah? I have my doubts. But you as a buyer, you're not muhzeket. So basically, you're looking at two people. And from the point of view of who has schus to these nechassim, there is a right to a baal to ultimate collection of these nechassim for purposes of collecting payroll. And therefore, you shouldn't buy. So in a sense, lo timkor may be focused on our helping her to sell, but not anything that has to do with even necessarily her own morals. It may well be that this is a din in bezdin. We won't help her sell. We're in the buyer. We'll discourage a buyer from buying. And say that it's not morally correct, but it could be as far as she's concerned, they're not binari. She's saying, look, I'm a muhzeket, it's up to me to go to the chuppah, I like these nechassim, I want to sell these nechassim, and I want to have a schus. So again, these are possibilities, let's take that into consideration. But in any event, what turns out that whether these nechassim fell to her before the erusin or after the erusin, everybody is moted that if she did go ahead and sell them, then that sale is a kosher sale. The only machlokas is whether she lechatchila can sell, which is Beit Shammai's opinion, and that there was no zechut given to a baal at all on nechassim b'shas erusin, or according to Beit Hillel, where the very fact that he has an interest in the ultimate dispensation over here of these nechassim. So because of that, he has a right now, which may be, I mean, the Achronim bring riot, that it's not necessarily connected to his ultimate rights. This is seems to be a separate schus, as we'll see in the sugya, that there's a separate schus given to a Baal, B'shas Erisin, to try to maintain his hold on the things that are going to be his eventually, for the purpose of Perot. So that's a machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, whether he has such a source or not. Can she sell a chatchila or not? But b'diavad, there's no way we can be ma'akev to sell.
She sells it. What about the money? Does he
have? This is another issue that we'll see later on. What the din is, if actual cash is around, what the din is on cash, that comes later on in our parak. Our parak is going to discuss all of these issues. So, comes a long review to say, now, actually, the Chachomim did not understand this and argued about it. They said to Rabbi Gamliel, "Amru Chachomim leknei Rabbi Gamliel, Hoil v'zar abi isha lo yizkeh b'nechasim." How does this make sense? If the man has a kinyan on the woman because he's an orus, why doesn't he also have a right to her nechasim? I mean, he purchased her, didn't he? Now the Gemara is going to expand on this in a braita. What kind of question is this? He doesn't have any right as an orus. He only has a right as a full baal because he can't be made for an adorim yet. He's not yorisher. He's not zakeh and her metzias. What kind of question is this? What are we claiming that erusin is the same as nisuin? So this we're going to get to in the Gemara. Try to figure out what exactly the Chachamim were turning to Rabbi Gamliel. Well, Marlam Rabbi Gamliel's response was, "Oh man, alachadashim anu boshim." You know what? If a woman was already married in a sua, and she gets nechassim, and by the way, when it says naflu la nechassim, even the word naflu generally means fell to her b'yerusha, obviously it makes no difference how she got these nechassim. We're just saying naflu la in any way. Naflu la b'yerusha, naflu la b'matanar, for that matter, she had a business, it was a multi-millionaire, I mean, it makes no difference to us. It's just that generally a woman doesn't have nechassim at those times unless it was naflulah. So we say naflulah, but it means it's her nechassim. So I, says Rabbi Gamliel, am embarrassed by the fact that we say that a woman should be unable to sell nechassim after the nesuin when they fell to her after the nesuin, as we're going to see later on in the Mishnah. That embarrasses me because it makes no sense to me. Now why doesn't it make sense to him? What's wrong with the takana that it was keneged pidyona? So it's possible, Rav Gamliel holds, that since Pidyonah is a schus for the Isha, if she wants to sell, then basically what she's saying is, I'm not interested in the Takanas Chachomim. So why can't I sell? But what right do you have to say she can't sell and that the Baal should be able to be tired? Fine. But he doesn't want to. He says, even that I don't like. So you want to say now that the chasim that were hers before she even got to the Nisuin, that we should say we should take away from her? Where the heck would we come off of an idea to take something away from a woman? I don't understand that. But something about marriage, that means he's buying her. He has a right to her things. These are all takanas we're trying to do for her. Whatever was her before, why in the world should she lose? It's bad enough that you're telling me that there's a takana that a woman can't sell in a custom that falter after she's already in the sua. You're trying to tell me she shouldn't be able to sell things that were hers before she was an arusa? It's outrageous. Okay, so that's case number one, where either they falter before erusin or falter after erusin, but she still is not nesua. How about if they were naflula mishanis eight? Let's take the other extreme. They fell to her while she was already after the chuppah. So now there, they chame betila are moedim again. In this case, they're moedim, elab elam odim. In this case, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are made it that the Baal has the right to be motzi miyad alakuchos, according to the Rambam and the Rimigash and that whole group that generally paskin together. This means miyad alakuchos, he can be motzi Heros. However, there is a whole group of Rishonim that learned that the Chachamim were Malim the source of the Baal and the Peros, and it's the equivalent of a Kinyan Aguf for Peros, and he can be Moche even the Guf. Now, how about in the middle case? How about if she gets Nechasim at Shalom Yisait, after the Erisin, but before the Nesuim? How about now? And then she goes ahead, and she is Nisait. So what's the din over there? So there's a big machlokus, really, about how to understand. Does this mean at Shalom Yisait at any point? Meaning going back to even before she was Nitarsa? Or this is talking about the period between the Erisin and the Nesuim, specifically? But in any event, the case in the Reisha was not talking about Mishan Yisait. This in the Reisha was talking about an Arusa. Here we're talking about an Asua. So Rashi learns in either event. She got it at Shalom Yisait, whether she was pre-Arusa, whether she was Arusa, right now she is an Asua. What's the din? So there, Rabbi Amliel says, Beferish, that Im Machrav Natna, Rabbi Amliel argues, and he says, Im Machrav Natna over there, it's Kayam. Whereas the Chachomim say, as Rabbi Hanan ben Akavya reports, Amru lefana lefnei Rabbi Gamliel, ho'il v'zachabi isha lo yizkeh b'nechasim. If now everybody's agreeing that it's after Nisuin, he was certainly zoche in the isha. Why isn't he zoche in the nechasim that are now meant to be his keneged pirkuna? Amar lehem ala kadashim anu boshim. He says in this case as well, even on those nechasim that falter after the Nisuin, I feel it doesn't make any sense that he should get a right to those nechasim if she sells them. And Elashatem Megagalina Leno and Yishanim, you're trying to tell me that she should have the same din about the Yishanim, and that even though she owned these nechasim before she ever went to the chuppah, all of a sudden you should be able to now take it away from the buyer? Rabbi Shimon cholek bein nechasim lenechasim. Rabbi Shimon says, well, it makes a difference what type of nechasim these were. Nechasim hayiduim lebaal motimkor. If he knew about these nechasim, so therefore this is the reason that we were clear that he has a right to them, because since he knows about them, if she will be kidnapped, he will say, let her use your property. You paid herself. Well, I got to worry about it. Maybe the property won't be shove at the value of the unit. So therefore we make this stuck on him. But if he doesn't even know about it, If they were not, and he we'll see exactly what it means, know about it or not know about it. But over there, if he knows about it, imach rav natna batel, because over there we gave the baal a lien. But she'inan yidu in le baal, if the husband never knew about it, and here there's a machlokas rishonim, whether this means even though they fell after the nesuim, or is he going back only in the machlokas over here that we just discussed with Rabbi Gamliel, where they fell before the nesuim? Some learn even after the Nisuin. If he didn't know about it, so then it's not part of the takona of the pidyon. So over there, lo timkor, so the chatchila, she's not supposed to be mocher, she's supposed to be modiyah to the husband, because it's his right. But if she wasn't modiyah to the husband, v'imachrav v'natnat, instead she went ahead and she sold it. So then, it's indeed kayam. And we pass him like this. It's very interesting, a number of tribus that happen in formations and so on. Very interesting cases in which the husband was convinced that legally he had no right to the money.
Right, what?
He was convinced that legally, because according to civil law, he had no right to the money. Yeah, so he didn't know. He knew about the nechasim, but they were her bank accounts or her property, and he did not know that he had rights to them based on the Tzayach Zubat. So Reb Meisha Paskin, that's the same as not knowing. Because since he didn't know that he was able to take those Keneged Pidyonah, so then it was never part of the Takon or Keneged the Pidyon. Because he wasn't being Semech on them. And therefore, if me Machrav Natna Kayam.
Right.
Okay, I mean, there's a lot to discuss about it, obviously. The score would be that he should be able to find it, so she's got lots of money.
Right.
He didn't know that there was any way to gain access to that money. So Mishnah Reisha, ask the Gemara, why is it that if the Reisha We don't find Stutz. In the Reisha that we don't find any Machlokes, Umayishna Seifa de Pligi. We're going to say over here in the Reisha, there's no, after Erison, there's no Machlokes over here, and the halacha is that she can go ahead and sell it. But when it comes now to the Seifa over there, Beis Hillel says, no, Blotim Kor. So why is that? Amar Devei Rabbi Yana, Reisha b'schuta naflu. If she's not engaged to him, so he has no schus there at all. So therefore, if it's completely hers, and why should we have any hesitation at her selling it? Masha ein kein seifa b'schuto naflu. Once he was already in Arus, so then he had already a schus. What do you mean? He had a schus. I mean, if you're telling me that it's considered to be his, and he has a real legal right to it, so then im b'schuto naflu ki machrav natna mai kayam. Well, what are you saying? It's in his schus. So then that means you're saying that it's his. So then why is everybody made it? Even Beis Hillel, who says the Chatchila, she shouldn't have sold. Why are we made it that if she did sell it was chal? You're telling me that we gave him a schus afilu b'shas erusin? Sorry, let me rephrase that, says the Gemara. Reisha vadai b'schuta naflu. Look, in the Reisha, he's not even part of the picture. There was no erusin. But in the Seifa, emer b'schuta, emer b'schuto. We don't know whether in the end this Oros is going to be the Baal. We don't know that there will be a Kiyum of a Chuppah. But it's possible that there will be. In which case, every Erisin contains within it an incipient Nisuin. Right? So in other words, there's a type of Suffolk Nisuin that we have to take into consideration in every Erisin. And in that event that it will end up being a Nisuin, there is a schus that is given to the husband now to protect his rights for the nisuin, even though he doesn't yet have the schus in the actual papers. In other words, this is a completely different schus that we're giving to the Baal. A schus to be shamer his rights of getting papers. But that since that schus is not a vada, it's basically a protection for the event of a marriage, we cannot prevent her, who is a muhzeket, from acting out on what it is that she has. And since there's no motzei mechaveh el varaya ability over here to say, well, look, I mean, it's actually mine. So therefore, imakra minat nakayam, but at lekat chila, she shouldn't sell.
Could he sell the nechazim?
He vada can't sell, he's not even muhzer.
No, after they
lose. No, he doesn't own any of the goof, he owns only the peres. It's not his property. He only has a lien on the property to be able to work the property and to get the benefits of the property.
After the wedding, will this be Tzon Barzel?
Never. It will never turn into Tzon Barzel. It's always hers. All he has is the right to produce with it. We're going to see all kinds of dinim later on. If he invests in it, who gets the right to investments? He puts in sprinkler systems and walls and so on and so forth. Those are all those issues that the cleric will bring up. Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Omru lifnei Rabban Gamliel. Now, so according to Rabbi Yehuda now, the Chachomim are coming along and they're tining that they don't understand here why there should be a nafkamina between the Chosim later and the Chosim earlier, from before the Erisin. What exactly was the tining? Was Rabbi Yehuda arguing over here? Al-Chathila? Was he going back on the fact that Beit Shammai says that she could even be Mocher L'Chatchila, and his time is, how could you be Mocher L'Chatchila if he was Zeicha B'Yisha? Wasn't he Zeicha for the rights of the ultimate schus in the parents? Or was he going even on B'di'evit? Was he saying that, I don't like the idea that Beis Hillel is made that B'di'avad, if she did sell it was a kosher sale, why would it be a kosher sale? Which one was troubling him? That's how Rashi. Tosfos says that doesn't make any sense, because that would mean that the Gemara is asking whether Rabbi Yehuda was discussing Beit Shammai Shita. You're saying, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, why would Beit Shammai say that she could sell afilu l'chatchila, but all over Shas, we always say, why would we be discussing, in a Mishnah that mentions Beis Hillel, why would we be discussing the time over here of Beit Shammai? How could we be focusing on Beit Shammai? So therefore, he learns the Chatchila is going all the way back on the Reish of the Mishnah. Nafla Acheloti Tareth. We're over there. Everybody is Mohar. Both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are Mohar. That she's Moharet even the Chatchila. So over there, he is saying Right. Now that she's an arus, he was zeicha b'isha. Why wasn't he zeicha even in Loz Lechosin? Because she was nitarsa. You'll notice that...
What's wrong? I have to understand Beit Shammai to know Rabbi, to understand Beis Hillel.
Why?
Why don't I have to explore it?
Why? It's very relevant to Beis Hillel. He's saying Lechatchila Beis Hillel is agreeing that he has a source in the Lechosin. Why do I need to understand Beit Shammai? Now look carefully at the Mishnah and look at the difference in the language. And it doesn't say Vinitarsa, right? Take a look at the latter case. Achalonisait Vinisait. And what's that? Achalonisait Vinisait. Why do we have to repeat the word Vinisait? It's based on that idea that Rashi wants to say that this means under any circumstances, even the Chasim Kodim Shemitasa. Because once it was Vinisait, it should take, this halacha applies to all the Chasim, whether Mishasa Erisin or pre-Erisin. Because otherwise I'd explain the Mishnah. You see, not all of the Rishonim agree with this, but so far as I will understand. So now we want to know whether Rabbi Yehuda is going back on the opening of the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yotam, that means on the Reisha, where it says, Ad Shaloti Tareis, where over there everybody agrees she's Mocher, meaning Lekatchila. So they're saying, why should she be Mocher as Lekatchila? That doesn't make any sense if she was on in Nitarsa. What's Nafkamina when it fell? When it fell before, it fell afterwards. What's the status right now? We should look at the status right now, just like we do in the Sefer. Tashma, let's bring a raya as to what the intent was of his question. Titania, in a Braita, it explains clearly what Rav Yehuda was upset about. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omru lifnei Rabban Gamliel, ho'il mezo ishto vezo ishto. Look, if a nesua is a wife, and an arusa is a wife, so zo machra batel, a nesua, it says, perish later on, bechamei betelol amayda, she'im machra v'natna, she'abal motzi miyad v'kuchot, which means that the mecher is batel, and that the ilakoach lost his money. He can't even get his money back. Where's he getting his money? He made a mistake, so he bought cheap. He lost. So why do you say that in this case, b'diavad, it's good? Okay, so now it's clear that Rabbi Yehuda was asking on the case of b'diavad, because he speaks it out. Since both cases, the arusa or the nesua, are both married, in the same way that you're saying that in nesua the mecher is batal, so to the arusa the mecher should be batal. That was what the Chachamim told Rabbi Gamliel. Amar lahem, to which he replied, ala kadashim anu boshim. This upsets us even when it comes to things that fell after the nesuin we're upset about. And you're saying that the mecher is batal. I don't see why even the mecher should be batal. Again, perhaps he holds that the takana was b'schus the isha. So therefore, you're going to come along now to say, let's use that as a model. I don't like even the model as it is. Forget about using it as a model for cases where now she hasn't even been in a suah, and you want to take along at the megagun malinu to yishanim. You're taking the property that she had before. Shema mina diavadka mashman. Is it clearly what Rabbi Yehuda was quoting the Chachamim over here was a taina against the mecher being kayam b'diavad. That was what was troubling him. So he was upset about Beis Hillel's opinion in a case of nitarsa. So far so good? Not really. Because it's a pretty dumb question. The way it's written in the Brass. What do you mean, ho v'zuishto v'zuishto? What's the comparison of an arusa to a nesua, for God's sake? An arusa, the Baal, doesn't have any schus, and a nesua, the Baal, does have schus. What are you saying? Since they're both women, and they're both kinyonim, it's all the same. So why don't you say, since they're both women, and if she was an asua, you would be zakai to my siyadeh, to the tziyas, it would be yorisher, so therefore an arusa should also be. What a stupid question is that? We gave those schuyas as part of the nisuin. So who's to say that we don't give that schus to the Baal as part of the nisuin?
This is a little bit stronger if this parrot comes directly after this experience.
Don't confuse us. We don't have such a broad mind at this point. We're just trying to get the chat so far. Tanya, indeed, in the Brice it says that Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, now you'll notice that in the Sefer of our Mishnah, we have a Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya who was coming to be the one to describe the Taina of the Chachomim to Rabbi Gamliel in a case where she was a nisuah, but the property in question was property that had been inherited or received before the nisuin, right? And it was over there that Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya said, but that was in the context of nisuin, not eris. Here, what we've done is we've taken the first part of the Mishnah, which was Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was the one who quoted the Chachamim Steiner against the Reisha of the Mishnah, whatever part it's referring to, we just proved it's the last part of the Reisha, which is talking about a case of an Arusa, and spoke out that the Chachamim did not like this din, and didn't understand why it would be that he wouldn't be Zeicha in the Nechasim after the Eris. So in Rabbi Yehuda's version, Rabbi Gamliel responds, well, why should we give him a schus after all? I don't even understand why we give him a schus after Nisuin. Certainly I don't understand why you give him a schus now. Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, on the other hand, doesn't even address that issue. Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, he says the discussion with the Chachomim and Rabbi Gamliel was a discussion about the status of Nechosim after Nisuin, where those Nechosim had come into her hands before the Nisuin. And indeed, this braita now brings out clearly the sheet of Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya. So Tanya, Omre b'Chananya b'Chanina ben Akavya, Chananya ben Akavya, lo kach yishivan Rabbi Gamliel l'chakon. Please, that is ridiculous. Why would that be what Rabbi Gamliel answered? If you ask a stupid question, you'll get an obvious answer. On that question as to why we shouldn't give an arusa the schus we give an asua, he said a much better answer than, I don't like the model and I'm upset about the fact that even a nisuah gets. Why would he have to say that? You know what he said? He said, Kachi Shivan. He said, huh? Loi mamartam in nisuah, shekein bala zakai b'mitziyata, b'masiyadea, b'afarat nadareh. I understand. What's the comparison? A woman is a nisuah. There's a whole list of things that the husband is zeichin. Tomru b'arusah, what you're going to say? So therefore, if she's an arusah, it should be exactly the same. Where you yourself agree, she'ein ba'ala zakai, lo b'mitziyata, v'lo b'maseyadea, v'lo b'afarad nidarea. So therefore, this wasn't the discussion. Amrula, Rebbe. So they said to him, machra ad shalo niseit. Niseit v'yachakach machra. Mahu. So, okay. This is what he talked about that case. Then they said to him, well, Rebbe, that's very nice, but what would you tell us about the case of Nisait? What are you going to answer in there? There you can't tell us the difference between an Arusa and a Nisuah. So if that's the case, what about if she's Nisait v'achakach Machra? What are you going to do about that? You've explained to us Machra before Nisait, but your answer doesn't apply to the last part of the mission. Omar Lahu, he said to them, you think so, huh? Abzu mocheret v'notenet v'kayam. The truth is, of course this is amazing, because that's not what it says in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, everybody's going to be chamak, in the Braita, he says to him, well, you know what? The truth is, she could be mocheret and notenet, and it would be perfectly good. L'chat fila. In the Mishnah, he says, only b'diavad. Amru lo, it was here, it says Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, that they said to Rabbi Gamliel, that you're going to have to explain to us. Because, ho'il v'zachah b'isha, what's the difference if the nechasim were there only later and the nechasim were there before? Once he's zeicha in the woman, so then he's zeicha to these zechuyot, which included the nechasim. So, ho'il v'zachah b'isha, lo yizkeh b'nechasim. Amar lahem ala chadashim anu goshim elashten begagalim aleinu ata yeshanim. So he said to them, in this case, I agree only that if the property was there after the nisuin, when she was already had a right to her property, but if she already had a sister's property before, then she could even sell the chatfila. Says the Gemara, excuse me, but the Mishnah doesn't say. You're bringing me a braita that is the opposite of the Mishnah. We are not none. We learned in the Mishnah, Ad shalo niseit v'niseit, Rabbi Gamliel omer, im machrav nat nakayam. That was the first mamar that we had Rabbi Gamliel himself said, right? Let's remember the Mishnah. The Mishnah is organized basically into three parts. The two extremes, where we're talking about what the case is pre-Harris. That's the two extremes. So pre-Harrison, we have Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, or all Meida, Mocheret, Venotenet. There's no problem. Then we have post-Nisuin. Post-Nisuin, where the property was hers, post-Nisuin. Oh, everybody is Moda. In that case, even if she went out and sold, forget about it. The Mecher is Boda. Then we have this middle case. Rabbi Gamliel's discussion in the Mishnah in the first case was only a report of Rabbi Yehuda of what they tied it to Rabbi Gamliel, which seemed to be just a theoretical discussion. Rabbi Gamliel wasn't arguing. But they were saying, can you explain that to us? Why would Beis Hillel have said, the way we see it now, why would Beis Hillel have said Mikra Kayam if Lamaisa right now he already had married her? So why wasn't he Zeichel in the Chassid? The second part, however, which is the other middle now, is where she was a Nesua, but the property that she sold was a property that had been hers from before. Over there, Rabbi Gamliel said, well, look, even though she shouldn't sell it, but if she sold it, it's time. But Hananya ben Akavi and the Braita is reporting that according to Rabbi Gamliel, in that case, she can even sell lechatchila. So how does Rabbi Hananya ben Akavi understand the Mishnah? Which means if she sold, then it's a good sale, but not that she can sell. And you're claiming, according to Ramil, she even can sell. Omer Rav Zvid says Rav Zvid will have to change the Mishnah, according to Rav Hanani ben Akavi. Tani, the Mishnah clearly is saying, according to him, Mocheret v'notenet v'kayam. According to him, the din is that even lechatchila she's allowed to sell. Yeah. Says Rav Papa, excuse me, look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah is said according to two people. The first part of the Mishnah was a report of Rabbi Yehuda's discussion, the way the Chachamim discussed in Rabbi Gamliel. The second part of the Mishnah was Omer Rav Hananya ben Gamliel, Omer Lifnei Rabbi Gamliel. So why don't we simply understand that the words Rabbi Gamliel Omer Imach Rav Natna Kayam are going according to Rabbi Yehuda? In other words, Rabbi Yehuda describes Rabbi Gamliel's response to the first tain of the Chachamim, which is, don't try to tell me that the chosin that she got before the erisin is that she wouldn't be allowed to sell. That's ridiculous. However, the chosin that she had before the nisuin, and there she was, and he said, look, I understand that was part of the chosin that was given to the Baal, but she shouldn't sell a chatchila, but if she does, it's kai. Comes along Rav Hananya ben Gamliel, ben Akavya, and he says, Rav Gamliel wouldn't have said that. Rav Gamliel held bichlal, you can sell the chosin that he wasn't zochah in, that came to her now, b'shas that he wasn't around to be zochah in it because it was pre-disuing the chosin. So maybe that's all that the Mishnah is saying. There's two separate pieces to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda's piece, indeed, is consistent with Rabbi Yehuda's whole approach in the Mishnah, which is that Rabbi Gamliel never made the obvious distinction between erisin and nisuin. And indeed, it's outrageous. Why wouldn't you make such a distinction? So again, clearly, there is some other mechanism that's involved. It can't be that the Gemara is seriously entertaining a discussion about the schus of a husband and a chosin after nisuin and asking, so why didn't it apply before an erisin? That's crazy. So that means that the version that has, Rabbi Yehuda's version, that has Rabbi Gamliel seriously discussing a comparison between the state of nisuin and the state of erisin has got to be based on the understanding that the Mishnah is taking for granted that there is a separate schus to watch out for what will be coming your way. And that's not part of the actual schus to what is yours in the nisuin. Otherwise, the Mishnah makes no sense at all. So that would be now the difference between Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya and Rabbi Yehuda's approach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we have this halacha that is given to a Baal, maybe even to be motzi, on earlier things. And according to Rabbi Gamliel, we don't have such a thing. Therefore, says Rav Papa, what's the problem in the Mishnah? Lo kasha. Or Rabbi Yehuda, I'll leave it to Rabbi Gamliel. Or Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, I'll leave it to Rabbi Gamliel. What Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya is saying, according to Rabbi Gamliel, is that you are allowed to sell, half the woman is allowed to sell, even lechatchila, even after nisuin, property that she had before the nisuin. Now that's crazy, because that's against both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. The last part of the Mishnah was, Maiden Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel, that once she went ahead and she was a nisua, that over there, Aval Motzi Miyad Alekuchot Elu Ve'Elu Modim. So what? You're telling me now that Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya says that Rabbi Gamliel argues on Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. That's outrageous. That's the Gemara. What? So Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel, you're trying to tell me that he goes now against Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya. Sorry. So Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya, Rabbi Gamliel. So that means Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya would be saying, according to whom? This point. That if it was pre-Nisuin property, over there, it would be even lechatchila. I mean, Beis Hillel holds even on Erisin property, it's not lechatchila. So the most you could say is that he's saying that Beit Shammai would hold that a pre-Nisuin, before the Nisuin, she gets it and then goes to Nisuin. That's the most you could say that. I'll leave it to Beit Shammai, even there she could sell lechatchila. I mean, Beis Hillel held he can't sell lechatchila, even if she's only an Arusa. So the most you're going to tell me is that Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya is going like Beit Shammai, which is also outrageous. So you're trying to tell me, Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya, to Beit Shammai? No! Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya has a different approach on the machlokes. He's not saying that. He's saying, lo nechleku, there never was such a machlokes, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Cross out that whole first part of the Mishnah. And Beit Hillel never said that an Arusa cannot sell a chatchila. Again, because Rabbi Hanania's approach has been consistently an Arusa? Since when does a Baal have rights to the property of an Arusa? And therefore he said, I don't know what you're coming off with this discussion, this putative discussion with Rabbi Gamliel. The Rabbi Gamliel said, I don't like the model. There's no such thing. It's crazy. There was no such discussion. Rabbi Gamliel laughed at them when they said such a thing. Because indeed, in my opinion, the way I was makabel, there was no such machlokas Beit Shammai Beis Hillel b'shas erusin. A husband does not have the rights to be shamer the rights. The only question over here is once he actually gets the rights, then there's a question. What rights does he get? Does he get the rights to those things that are hers that she gets during the time that she is his wife? So it's sort of like the din mitziyata and so on. So he gets the rights, just like mitziyata, he gets the right to yerushata and so on. Or does he get the right even to be ma'akev, the mechira, on something that she had from before? That was the discussion with Rabbi Gamliel. The most. And not even Beit Hillel. And not even the B'shas Erison was there a sheet of Beit Hillel that she's not allowed to be Mocheret. She's Mocheret even Lechatzkila. Says the Gemara. So Lonechu Beit Shammai Beit Hillel there was it. Now, says the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel Darmitar Vayu. The Maisa, come along Rav and Shmuel, and they say, actually, doesn't even matter. Ben Shenoflo Nechassim at Shaloni Tarsa. Ben Shenoflo Nechassim Mishan at Tarsa Ben Yisait. Abao Motzi Miyana Lekuchot. Woof. This is bad news. So now they're saying, Mamish Keneged everybody. I mean, they're saying Keneged even Rabbi Hananya Ben Gamliel Ben Akavya. So they're saying that actually the halacha is that the Baal can be Motzi Miyana Lekuchot even on Nechassim that she had before the Erisin, and even the Nechassim that she had before the Nisuin, she goes out and she's Nisais. The Baal is Motzi Miyad Alekuches. This doesn't make sense. Come on. The Lok Rebbe Yehuda, the Lok Rebbe Hananya Ben Akavya. Who is saying this? I mean, nobody said this. The most that he said was that if the Nechassim had fallen to her before the Nisuin, so then, fine. If the Baal has them, he can go ahead and the Motzi Miyad Alekuches. But before? The Nechassim were from before? It's only Lechatchila? Because Inu de Arme Karabba Sim. They hold like the sheet of Rabotin. Tanya Rabotinu Chazru v'Nimnu. Actually, we find that after the time of the Mishnah, they made a takona, Bein shenaflula ad shaloti tares, ubein shenaflula mishani tarsa, v'niseit, if in the end, she went ahead and went to the chuppah, then whatever property was there, habal motzi miyada lekuchot. And it's true that before this takona, indeed, this was a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Hananya, and Akavya, but it's no longer nogea la halacha. once Mishan is saved, and this property was there, now after Falster, after Nisuin, then Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel Ramayda, that the Baal is about to be out of Lekuchais. Are you saying that the Mishnah already had the halacha of the Takanas Usha? Remember we had before the four Takanas Usha. This was one of the Takanas Usha. So you're telling me now that actually we never needed to make a Takanas Usha. Because already at the time of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, we already had this Takana, and it was already mentioned in the Mishnah. So what's the whole point? It sounds exactly the same thing. The Takanas Usha was that if a woman had sold Nichsei Malug while her husband was alive, obviously she couldn't sell the Peros because there was a lien on the Peros. But she could sell the property. Now she dies, so it says the Baal is Motzimi Ad HaLekuches. There's no comparison. The Mishnah is talking about while she's alive. And the Mishnah is talking about that the Baal can come along and be motzi peros. The Takanas Usha was not talking about the peros. The Takanas Usha was talking about the goof of the karka. And that there, the Chachomim, by Takanas Usha, give an extra power to the Baal. And they said that since the Baal has the schus of Yerusha, even if she sells and he's Yoresh, so then they can be, the Baal can be motzi miyad al lekuches. Oh, that's a whole different takana. And of course, that's not here in the Mishnah at all.
If she sold it, she obviously sold it when she was alive. To have any cancel the deed was done after she died.
He could say that it was leaned to him, that he has a schus in it for Yerusha. And that therefore the sale to him, this is the schus that they give him in the Takanas Usha. That the sale was only in the event that he dies. If he dies, leaving her as an almana, then fine, you bought the field at a discount with the understanding that if I die, then you're able to get the field. But if she dies, you can't buy away my schus to the Yerusha.
You can never buy property from a woman, because if she dies,
you'll buy it only at a discount.
It's only
20%. You're going to buy it. You're going to buy it for that chance that you're going to get a good deal, and you're willing to take the risk that you'll lose your money. But in Achinam, it's worth much less because of this. Rabbi Shimon, cholek ben efasim that are you doing, and efasim that are in and you doing. What defines you doing, and what defines in and you doing? Elu hein you doing, veelu hein shein you doing. Omer pes Rabbi Chanina, you doing means real estate. Because real estate is traceable, and people know he probably found out that she owns this property. And since he figured that she owns this property, so already he was counting on it, and that was his chus. Whereas metaltalin, ain't on your doing or metaltalin, because man, nobody knows like what you've got in a warehouse somewhere. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Elevela, you're doing here. Local property, people find out about. Elisha ain't on your doing. When we're talking about ain't on doing, is Koshi Yoshevet Kan v'naflula nechasim v'ninatayam. She is living in this location, and I mean, he has no reason in the world to think to look in the records of Timbuktu whether this woman owns property in Timbuktu. Little did he know that she has a great rich uncle in Timbuktu.
I just went by the trade house in Timbuktu this morning. Today, this morning.
What?
Out of the way, it's in the
mainstream
of Arab traffic for hundreds of years.
So, but it turns out that she owns a lot of property in Timbuktu. So that already is considered to be ain't on you doing. What are the chances he's going to find out about such a thing? So Bimidinatayam.